Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours,
part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a Hers, His, and Ours special event as we take on the Netflix reality competition show Battle Camp one episode at a time.
Welcome to Battle Camp.
Battle Camp. Battle Camp, Battle Camp, Battle Camp.
Here we are, waiting for another episode.
Yeah, because I told you, we're not moving on.
I know. It makes sense. I'm not saying what you're recommending doesn't make sense. Yeah. It's just very difficult for me.
I don't want to have any preconceived knowledge, no notions. No insider trading info. Even when I was like looking at the cast and some of the IMDb page for specifics, like I needed to grab a piece of audio, I needed to see the full cast list, I already was like, oh man, I got some things spoiled for me that I didn't want to have spoiled. So that also might affect how I look at the rest of the sort of season playing out, and I don't really want it to do that. But we left off in episode 3 with not making it to the wheel for the first time.
Yeah, and we hadn't seen everyone's vote yet either.
Correct. They had only really started the voting process, and so I was trying to figure out like who was going to be voting for who in this scenario. And the only person I got right was all the people that voted for Polly.
Yeah.
Because word had come down from Tony that she was trying to eliminate Louie. So Louie, Trey, and Bree from Yellow all voted for Polly. Gabby broke stride and voted for Tony, which I didn't expect. But I also had 6 people voting for Tony, which they didn't.
It was only 4, right?
Who voted for Tony? Yeah, 2 of those votes ended up going to Polly. And so Polly and Lorenzo from Red voted for Louie, but that was it. And so he was on there 3 times because of their team losing, but he didn't pick up those 2 votes that I thought were going to go to him. Those went to Polly instead from blue team. And then Georgia from Red tried to undercut Tony, voted for him, and then the other members of blue team in Shubi and Gio voted for Tony. The other 2 voted for Polly. So they're both attacking Red, which makes sense. And then Trey got voted for by Tony in kind of like a throwaway vote. Like he didn't really know who to vote for, so he just voted for Trey kind of situation.
Yeah.
And so that wheel was, I think, 3 Louie, 4 Polly, 4 Tony, and then Bree was on there twice because she lost the challenge, and the rest of the yellow team was on there from losing the round. So the odds were Polly or Tony were the 2 leading candidates. At the end of episode 3, you said you wanted the wheel to pick somebody who wasn't the majority candidate. Yes, you said that.
I didn't say I wanted it. I said I was interested to see if we were going to see the wheel land on someone whose name was only up there once.
And what did I say?
And you said it would happen. And I said this was not the week I wanted it to happen.
I said, watch, it'll be the week where Tony has the most votes on the wheel and somebody else will go home.
Yeah, this is not what I wanted.
And that's what happened.
It is. Very sad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Poor Gabby.
I know. Gabby got eliminated. She was only on the wheel once. And
won the punishment.
She did win the punishment, so she kept her chances off. And I looked it up. It's a 5.5% chance per sliver of wheel. So
ridiculous.
I mean, like when you play poker, it's what you call a bad beat, right? It's a super low percentage thing that could happen, but it happened, and it's sad because, yeah, she was a good competitor, a good teammate. I think probably maybe could have won the whole thing, but it then became like Tony's histrionics.
Oh, my God.
He was a blubbering mess.
So so far beyond acceptable drama.
Well, do you think he was like crying because he really liked Gabby and didn't want her to go home? Because he kept saying initially, like, if you lose, I'm going to throw a conniption fit. I'm going to freak out. Like, he kept telling her that. So I think there's like at least some truth to like he wanted her to be there.
I think the initial reaction is probably that. But all the histrionics moving forward after that, Georgia nailed on the head and was absolutely because his ego was hurt. We already know he had the biggest ego from previous challenges. We've seen his behavior with the biggest ego. And we see how the episode plays out. His reaction is based on his ego being shattered. And most men that are like that cannot handle bruised egos.
But I guess my question is, like, did he really think that he was so well liked? I mean, he still only pulled less than 25% of the total. Well, I guess because all of his slices of the wheel were votes. So that was a third of the camp voted for Tony.
Yes, because of his ego. He thought he was the best looking. He knew he had the biggest ego. He was the player of the game. Like, we saw it in those questions of that challenge before. Yeah. That is literally how he views himself. And he assumes everyone views him that way, even though he answered a lot of those questions wrong and he wasn't actually picked for some of those because his ego kept getting in the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that like his ego could be that blinding. Not that inflated. I mean, that part I buy, but that the ego inflation leaves no room for introspection. But I guess like he kind of got along with the guys and he was flirtatious with the girls, and so everybody viewed him a certain way, but he just wasn't aware of being viewed that way. And then when it came to light that no, we all know what's going on here, so that's sort of the second part of the equation. Yeah, but when Gabby got eliminated, I was like, oh, he's about to be unhinged now. Mm-hmm. And then he was, and he kind of was like alone for a long time. And then he eventually came back. You know, he was consoled in the restroom, I think it was, by Avery and maybe QT were there.
They were trying to, because they thought his reaction was based on Gabby leaving.
And he storms out of the bathroom eventually, like, stop comforting me.
Yeah. Which is also very egotistical, mm-hmm. right? But then we see, like I said, Georgia's got his number for sure.
She did.
She picks up on it right away of like, this is not because of Gabby. This is because of him.
He's mad that he got voted
he
for.
Got,
that
he's
much.
Mad he got voted for, and he thought he was schmoozing everyone over and playing like Rico Suave and like he's God's gift, and that was going to push him through. Even though the way he was doing it was very slimy.
It was. And so he eventually comes back. They all go to bed. Next morning rolls around. Hey, Tony's not at breakfast.
They get the new player for the yellow team.
Yeah. This is
Morgan.
Morgan shows up. They all go to breakfast. You know, introductions are being made. We find out that Morgan is friends with Gabby, was from the same show, competed on the same team. And so kind of like makes sense that she fills in that gap, but whatever. I'm curious if the producers pick based on who gets eliminated of who they're putting into that, or if it's already like Polly was the first one in line to go to whichever team and Bree was in line and Morgan was in line kind of thing. So
it's interesting because Nick coming into it. Oh,
it's fine. We do get another new player, but I think what is surprising is that Tony self-eliminated. His ego was so fragile that when he got the most votes the night before, I think his confidence in his ability to win the show beyond that point was done. And
I don't even think that was it. I don't think his confidence was knocked. I think that he wanted to try and save face and take himself out before he got voted out again the next week.
Yeah, because, you know, now he's on the radar. He already got four votes. So the number's probably going to be higher next time, especially knowing that some people had
he's going to come after people. he would still be a target. So I think because of his ego, he did not want to risk being put up on the wheel again and then actually being taken out by the wheel because maybe he's going to have more votes on the wheel.
Yeah.
And he just self-elected him to be out and didn't even get dressed in red colors for the competition that's about to happen. He's just like, I can't do this. I'm leaving. When there was no legit or valid reason for him to do that.
No, there wasn't. He just left his team high and dry. You saw what kind of teammate he actually really was.
He wasn't a teammate.
That. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as he did that, I was like, oh, you can do that? Like, you can just quit the show because you don't want to be there anymore? I was like, I didn't realize that that was an... It's not like Special Forces where they're sort of trying to force you to ask.
Like, to break.
To quit. Yeah. So, it was a little surprising in that way, but his character, that part wasn't surprising. But when he self-terminated, I was like, bring Gabby back.
I agree. Gabby,
she probably
was
hasn't
such
even
a,
made it back to the airport at this point.
Gabby was collateral damage in this, and it was such a waste of an elimination for him to turn around and then do that.
Yeah. And there,
and I would have brought Gabby back and put her on the red team.
Yeah. And there are some, I don't know if they're necessarily shows, but there's sometimes in competitions like this where someone who gets eliminated ends up getting a second chance. I know they did it on The Ultimate Fighter.
They've done it on Big Brother too, actually.
Where someone who is out due to an injury to somebody else gets a second chance, and then they come back and do well. So I was hoping, but it was already too late for that. They just go straight into the challenge, shorthanded, and this is the beanbags.
But they do replace him.
They do.
Before it starts.
Nick from some other show.
The Circle?
That maybe, yeah, because he's friends Shuby. With Shuby. Yeah.
Yeah.
He pops out from behind the wall and...
So. And Polly said she had like a 2 week, I knew him for 2 weeks kind of a thing.
So what happens? Is there just like a big Netflix studio thing where all of, okay.
There are like, it's kind of like a Netflix reunion thing, but it's just like a social gathering where all the Netflix cast members go and they get to party.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I was like, do they all just like live at Netflix and there's like a big dorm and everything?
No, they don't live there. But there was, I feel like, an award show where they all got to be together where I can't remember. Someone from Love is Blind that we liked got nominated as like favorite reality star on Netflix or something like that. So they do social gatherings. But like there's so much overlap of the shows. You know, it's just like... The Love is Blind cast, they all kind of know each other from all the seasons because then they do reunion shows and they all intermingle and it's very incestuous that way.
Yeah. And I mean, well, speaking of incestuous, Polly mentions this fling that she had with Nick, right? And we already sort of knew that her and Gio kind of had like a very strong personal connection as well.
Well, they're real estate partners.
Is that what it is? They're partners?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They
make like each other a lot of money.
Yeah. So they sell like on Selling OC or something. They're real estate partners where they sell houses together.
Mm. Okay. That makes sense. So Nick gets there. I'm happy that he's there because we're
Nick
pro
solidarity.
Nick. Yeah. Nick solidarity. We got to protect the Council of Nicks. And, Shuby's joking that he's got big Nick energy, and I'm like, Shuby's got like the biggest man crush on this guy, but that's fine. And then, you know, we get into what this event is, and it's all about poles and holes. And Taylor Lewan, the host, who we haven't mentioned once up until this point, he says a line, "Whose cornhole are you going to target?" And this is after some like sexual innuendo has happened in this moment. So I think like they're kind of having fun with it. They know that the Netflix alumni are all kind of horny for each other. We've already seen Bree and Louis sleeping together.
Yeah, because after that comment was made between Polly and Nick, Bree and Louis looked at each other.
The pressure's
like,
off of us.
Yeah, it's not just us.
So then they play some. Like hangman cornhole, right? You got to throw the beanbag into the hole and then you eliminate steps up on the wall for balance, and you're trying to make the other team fall from the ledge that they're standing on. It's a kind of interesting game. They did the challenge differently in that all three teams competed in the first round, but the winning team wins, and then second and third place play to see who gets second. And so it wasn't just like placement in terms of finish. They started over, and you know, this is one where Trey said, I feel like I really, you know, let down my team. And it's like, yeah, bro, your cornhole skills suck.
But again, none of them tried to go for the blue team, and they just went after each other, red and yellow, and blue team won and got immunity.
Yeah, blue
again.
Blue won their third in a row.
Yes.
And somehow still red and yellow don't view them as a threat, which is interesting. Because strategically, like, I don't know how you can't at that point.
Yeah, because then yellow gets last place for the third time in a row as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, red team, why would you go for yellow after they had lost twice in a row as well? Go for blue. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. And as a result of the loss, the punishments come in again. But before we get to the punishments, blue team brings in Louie and Trey into the cabin. And they're like, we want to form an alliance so that the six of us move as a pack. Because 6 out of 12 is you have half the camp, right? So if you need to make a move on somebody, you can. And so they make that deal. It seems like a good deal because Louie is not as attached to Bree as maybe we thought he was. And Morgan just got there, so there's no real deep attachment to her either. So for Trey and Louie, it's a great deal. But at that point, like, you should probably just make the alignment as an entire team and be like, we want to focus on getting like Tony and Lorenzo out of here and work on that. Although Tony had just left, so you eliminate Nick and Lorenzo maybe, but they make that deal. Then the punishment phase comes. And for some reason, the blue team is like, yeah, we're going to put Trey in the punishment.
Because we think he can win. And that makes sense. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, they put this thing of like he's got balance, so he's going to be able to balance.
But again, if you just made an alliance, why are you putting him into a situation where he has to win to survive when there were plenty of other fish in the sea that they could have put up instead? Like, it made zero sense. Avery, who I gave a lot of credit to up until this point, made literally no sense. There was no rationale behind this that could justify that decision.
Yeah, and because it implodes the alliance that you just made, which is like, if you're Trey, there's no way you can trust Blue now. That, like, there's just no strategic way you can. They said they have your back. You know, I think Shuby tells him after the challenge happens, and Trey does not win the challenge, the guy with all the upper body strength that they put in there wins the challenge.
So stupid.
Yeah. It's holding a tray full of drinks. So it's just muscle fatigue and like balance. It wasn't, if it was something where you need to walk and like fill a cup and not spill it, or you need to say like fill a bucket to a certain level and then you have to balance the empty bucket each trip that you take there, then it's more about like your balance and how much are you going to try to overfill the bucket so you can do the most fills in a pour? Are you going to be conservative and like not fill it all the way so that way you don't spill anything? That's a way different thing. But I think when they just read what the challenge is called spill, maybe they don't have a lot of details on what the challenge is when they pick it. But nonetheless, you put someone that you just allied with on the hot seat and he loses. So now, I don't know how he can trust Blue beyond that. I wouldn't honor the alliance because...
Absolutely not.
I'd be like, there's just no way. Like, you told me that you're trying to protect us, and then you literally tried to eliminate me in the same day. Or you put me in a position where I could get eliminated in the same day. So, for Trey, it doesn't make any sense. For Louie, maybe it still makes sense to honor the alliance, but yes, Shuby tells him, Blue's not going to vote against you. But he's like, okay, I trust that. So there's four votes from Blue that I don't have to worry about. But because he's already on the wheel twice, he's now worried that he may be in more jeopardy than he thought. And so he goes around the camp and he's talking to people and he finds Polly alone. And that's an interesting conversation because he moves to her and she's alone. So I think she already knows before he sits down, like, what is he here to talk to me about? We're not on the same team. We don't have anything in common. We don't know each other. And so he starts trying to, like, figure out what she's in there for. And so she's the one who had gone after Louis in the previous vote. And Trey sells out Louis to protect himself. So now Trey, I think the whole thing with ever since Irina screwed them up, like, their whole rhythm has been off. And now Trey just is super desperate to stay by any means necessary. And he tried to convince Polly that Louis is really the ringleader. And she saw right through it. She's like, I think you're the leader and the one making the decisions. And she's right for the most part. And he says something like, oh, you'd be surprised how much Louis actually takes the lead. And so, like, he's definitely trying to sell her on the idea of voting for Louis. But I think Polly saw right through it and is still going to vote for Trey this round. But what we have on the wheel is Bree, Louis, Trey, and Morgan from the loss, and then Morgan and Trey again from the challenge that they lost. So how do you see the rest of the votes shaking out from the camp? Because we still got 12 votes. Blue says they're not going to move against Trey or against Louis. So their votes go for who?
Well, I mean, according to the conversation we see Trey have with Polly, Polly now doesn't trust Trey because he's turning on his quote unquote best friend. So, I don't know. I think we still may see more Trey votes if she's going to start spreading that information.
Well, I could see Polly vote for Trey for sure. I could see maybe Georgia vote for Trey. Maybe Lorenzo. Maybe Red splits between Trey and Louis to add them to the board. And then if you're Blue, I don't know who you would go after. Maybe Lorenzo. Maybe Nick, because he's, like, big and strong.
Yeah, because, I mean, the episode ends, right, where we see Trey and Louis are the ones standing together to see how many of each of them get votes. So that must mean they're probably significant players. Well, not players, but, like, they probably have significant weight with their names being on the board multiple times. Or maybe one does and the other doesn't.
That makes sense. Louis is already on there once. Trey's on there twice. I don't think Morgan is going to pick up any more votes because she just got there. I don't think anybody knows her. I could see Nick picking up some of the votes from Blue, but I could definitely see Red targeting both Louis and Trey. And if Polly, you know, has already convinced Lorenzo in the previous round to vote for Louis, but she is maybe aware of what Trey is trying to do, now that Tony's not there, I think they could all vote against Trey. And so he might pick up all four of the red votes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think Polly, having that thought now, may be the one to plant to go after Trey, plant that idea of going after Trey for the whole red team, but also Gio, which may bleed into the blue team. Maybe not the whole blue team, but a good amount of them.
Well,
and then it's like, well, now what about that alliance?
Yeah. And in the preview for the next episode, it looks like there's turmoil within the blue team for the first time. It could just be,
or it's coming soon.
It could just, it could just be editing, but we'll see. I'm curious. We got another one to watch and then be back recording again. So, right?
Fine. Yeah. Yes. All right. Just want to blow through the rest of them.
Nope.
I know.
Not blowing through nothing.
Fine.
All right. Take care. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheist Podcast Network, follow at Scheist Podnet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.